All right. And you can open up to 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, let's see. Yep, in less than 14 hours, 2017 will be history. Yep. Wasn't so bad. No. It's what you made it to be. But you can look forward to greater things in 2018. So here we are again, 365 days since the last time we looked forward to going into the new year. A lot has changed on the world's stage this year. With all the fighting, with all the wars, all the rumors of wars to come, the launching of missiles with nuclear capability, the move to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel sure stirred up a lot. We've had hurricanes, Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, record drought through the Midwest, forest fires consumed hundreds of thousands of acres, consuming homes and complete communities. And our own country continually changes on a daily basis, right before our very eyes. If you've watched the news, you know what I'm talking about. But really, the more things change, the more things stay the same. By that, I mean people often want everything else to change around them and for them, except for one thing that really needs changing, and that's themselves. You know that they want to change their jobs, their pay, their spouse's traits, and if you are, don't even go there, their car. They want to change their house. And the list goes on and on and on. And it seems like only around this time of year, though, does anyone focus inward and think about maybe making changes in their own lives. At midnight, we will begin a new year, 2018. And that is when people make their New Year's resolutions. Even though we would like to think that on New Year's Day, somehow we will wake up and by making our once-a-year declarations, change is really going to happen, and this time we're going to see great results from our efforts. As much as making resolutions makes it about our efforts, it's really not about what we are capable of doing. It's all about what God is capable of doing in our lives when we allow Him to make the changes in our lives that we need to get the results that we're looking for. Let me say this. It's not our circumstances that need to change, but our mindset and our way of thinking. Because when it does, changed circumstances will be the result of it. See, God is not moved. And He will never be affected by our circumstances. So we need to turn resolutions into realities. Nobody likes to go through the hassle, the battle, the storm, the fire, whatever name you give to your situation. Of course, everybody would prefer to be miraculously put into the victor's circle. That's why we like to be proactive. We're always on the offense, always thinking that God needs our help. But that's not what God wants. No. He wants us to completely depend on Him and to rest on His amazing abilities, not ours. Now you're there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Wow. I like it in the Amplified. The Amplified Bible says, casting the whole of your care, not a third, not a half, not two-thirds, but the whole care. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. How many of you have anxieties? How many of you have worries? How many of you have concerns? I'm glad you didn't all raise your hands, because I know you would have. Well, what you're supposed to do, we're supposed to cast them on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Now, some might say, if God really cared, then He would take care of everything we would have to worry about any time. He could. Absolutely. Yep. God could do that and never blink an eye. Never blink an eye. Do you have enough faith to trust Him? Trust Him to take care of everything. Well, yes, we can. Hold your place there and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Yeah. We can trust Him to take care of everything. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. This is Jesus speaking. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Worrying. Worrying equals self-effort. Self-effort equals the lack of trust. And the lack of trust equals fear. Worry brings in fear. But you know what the best thing is? None of them are any match for God's grace. None of them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Message Bible says it this way. My grace is enough. It's all you need. Whose grace? Right? Whose grace is it? Right? My strength comes into you, into its own in your weakness. His strength. Back to 1 Peter there, chapter 5. Verse 6 says, to do this before you cast all your cares on Him. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble means not proud or haughty, nor arrogant or assertive. It is reflecting or expressing and offering oneself in a spirit of submission. Humble yourselves. You want to be exalted? Humble yourselves before Him. See, in the instant technology world we live in, everyone wants everything now. Right? Everybody wants it now. Remember when the big term was microwave? That's how quickly you did it. It's way beyond that, right? It's in the nanosecond now. That's 1/1,000,000th of a second. Think about it. That's how fast. That's what everybody wants now. And people think that it should be the same way with what God has in store for them in their lives. Give it all to me now, God. I got to have it, and I got to have it now. While that may be exciting to think about, fact is, there's no way anyone could begin to handle everything that God has in store for them all at once. George Washington Carver, familiar name? Scientist, discoverer, Christian. He asked God to show him the secrets of the universe. That didn't happen. TMI. Too much information. What he did show him was the mysteries of the peanut. And Carver went on to discover more than 105 food recipes with peanuts. He also developed and promoted about 145 products made from peanuts that were useful for the house, the farm, and the world, including cosmetics, dyes, paints, plastics, gasoline, and nitroglycerin. When you're chewing on a peanut, think about that. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The things which God has prepared for those that love him. Think about that for a moment. We all know the streets of heaven are paved with gold. The walls are made of jasper. And the gates of pearl. I didn't say pearls. I said pearl. Out one big pearl. Because he's one big, awesome God. We all know these things exist in eternity, and they're just waiting for us to enjoy. And Scripture also says things far beyond our imagination that no one knows about. In fact, he puts things in this life, in this world, in our past, far beyond what we can think, hope, imagine. They're just waiting to be discovered day after day. We don't know it all. Nobody knows it all. Nobody knows what was out there. Only the Creator. No one knows exactly what God has in store for there for those that love Him and His Son, Jesus. The only way to Him in the first place. Amen? Jesus is the one who makes it all possible. In John 10:10, Jesus said, He's now listened. He said, I'm talking to you people. The thief, we're talking about the devil here. He does not come except to steal. He's going to steal from you. And he comes to kill. He takes innocent lives. And to destroy. But then Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. Who is they? That is you and me. That is you and me. And that they may have life more abundantly. What kind of life do we have through Jesus Christ? We have life more abundantly. We have abundant life. In Jeremiah 29:11, New Living Translation says, For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Now who has the plans for you? The Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. See, I like reading abundant life scriptures. See, God's goodness should be easily identified so that we know about it and are constantly, constantly aware of it. Like it's part of our generic makeup, the very fabric of our souls. God's plans for each one of us are bigger than just planning something way far out in the distant future. See, someone that loves to give is truly just that, someone who loves to give. That is our Heavenly Father. He is a giver. He's a rewarder. A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And not only now, but always in the now, and in the future, and forever. Forever. We know this to be true because the Bible tells us we have everything available to us that Jesus has available to Him. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What He has, we have. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Talk about a great New Year's resolution. Every day just trying to lay hold of what already we have, what God has given to us. So much to experience, so much to learn, so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. The greatest thing is for His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave us Jesus Christ, His Son. Resolutions are made because the end result we are hoping for is for circumstances to be affected or changed in our lives. And it's not our circumstances that need to change, as I said, but our mindset and our way of thinking. Because when it does, changed circumstances will be the result of it. See, God, like I said, is not moved. And He never will be affected by the circumstances in your life. No! He is moved by our faith, which is what we think and trust He is capable of doing in our lives. These hang on my house, and I think probably many of you have them. It says on the wall, it says, faith is not believing God can. It is knowing that God will. There's a big difference here. When the leper went to Jesus for his healing, he says, I know you can cleanse me. He says, are you willing? What did Jesus say? I am willing. Be cleansed. I am willing. In Hebrews 11, chapter 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It says a lot right there. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Do you believe that He is? And that He is a rewarder as you diligently seek Him out. He's capable of doing as much or as little in our lives that we can believe Him for. Okay, I'm going to say that again. He is capable of doing as much or as little in our lives that we can believe Him for. With that in mind, look to Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5. And this is the woman with the issue of blood. Okay? Now, I want you to look, we're going to start reading verse 25. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, that's where we come into this equation. That's our job, to make sure do we let people know about Jesus. What Jesus is out there. He's out there to save our souls. And we want to make sure that we let everybody else know that too. We want to share that with others. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd, and she touched His garment. For she said. What did she do? She said. She spoke. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I shall be made well. There was no doubt in that statement, was there? I will be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Everybody around him, crowding around him. All of a sudden, everything got quiet. Jesus is looking around. And he focuses in. And as he's focusing in, his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" He never answered him a word. He was fixed. He was fixed. He didn't hear what they said. But the woman. And as he looked around to see her, he knew who touched him. He knew it was her who had done this thing. It was like there was not another person there. It was just him and her. And she knew. And it says, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth." Told him the whole truth. That was so that everybody else could hear what had happened from her mouth. So that it could be written and given us. So that we could read this. And we could grow from it. And we could learn from it. And what he said to her. Verse 34. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Let me ask you, was he moved by her circumstances or her faith? Her faith. Had nothing to do about the circumstances. Whatever your circumstances are, that doesn't move God. What moves God is your faith. That's what will move God. For 12 years, she could have made resolution after resolution. In fact, she probably did. She probably said, "This year, I will find a cure. Surely, this year, I will find a new doctor. Surely, this year, I will. Yeah, I will. I will." Too many "I wills." As long as she did that, her self-effort was unable to get the job done for her. The "I wills," it never does. But his will. It wasn't until she trusted in Jesus' complete capability that her circumstances changed and her need was met. Just like Jesus took care of her need, he has already provided for every situation that we will ever come up against as well. Sometimes we like to dwell on how big the situation seems. I said seems. What we should be dwelling on is how much bigger our God is than our situation. It's the constant that sustains us through the roller coaster of life. Whether on the up or whether we're on the down, he remains the same. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. We can all quote this. I know we can. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Then verse 9. "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. See, don't be occupied with the diet that the world has to offer. Now, God says that it is good that the heart be established by His grace and capabilities. And once it is, it will revolutionize your life. When you make it about what you think you can do, what is human nature wants to do, on a daily and on a moment-by-moment basis, it will be full of worries. It will be full of worries, be full of anxieties, because you're the one trying to prop it all up. It's a false sense of security, folks. It's like a house of cards when you stack them up. In a moment's notice, they become unstable and they collapse under the pressures of life. But when you depend on God's grace, that is, His undeserved, unmerited favor, the opposite happens. Your heart becomes established by it. When you know that the only thing that qualifies you to receive God's blessings is faith in His finished work on the cross, your heart becomes established by it, and you become aware of how precious a gift it really is. See, God wants us to know and to realize this on a continuous basis so that you know that you know that you know His righteousness, His healing, His protection, and His prosperity. His unlimited everything is yours all the time. And it's all paid for by Jesus' finished work at Calvary. God's blessings are always available in your life because they are not dependent on your ability to do or live right. See, if they were, you'd never receive any of them. Thank goodness they're based on our ability to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that fact alone. Focus more on Jesus and less on yourself and less on your sin, because you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. See, when God looks at you, He sees Jesus' grace, and He doesn't dwell on your sin, and neither should you. Because how did Jesus come? He came in John 1, verse 14, full of grace and full of truth. And we're talking about the Word. We're talking about Jesus. If you're going to dwell on something, dwell on Jesus instead of yourselves and your sins. Because the more you focus on Jesus and His grace, the less you will want to sin and the more you will strive to be like Him. And isn't that what we really should be striving for anyways? You know, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. I know some say, too much grace, that's a license to sin. No, it's not a license to sin. It's a license to live a life, an abundant life, that God has had planned for us since the beginning. Since the beginning. That's when the plans were put out. But someone derailed us there. See, it's a life that is so wonderful, it's hard to believe that it really does exist, and it's just waiting for one thing. Waiting for one thing. You. You're the one. When you go and you look in the mirror, that person looking back at you, that's the one. That's the one who decides whether you live there or not. You want to live in the abundant life that He has? It's your choice. And it makes you wonder why more people don't. Only God knows that. Isaiah 55. We're winding down. Isaiah 55. And we're going to read verses 2 and 3. And I'm going to read them from the ERV. Why waste your money on something that is not real food? Why should you work for something that does not really satisfy you? Listen closely to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the food that satisfies your soul. Verse 3. Listen closely to what I say. Listen to me so that you will live. I will make an agreement. That's a covenant with you that will last forever. It will be an agreement you can trust, like the one I made with David, a promise to love him and to be loyal to him. God says, listen closely to what I say. Listen to me so that you will live. God has so many things in store for us. In our lives, He has a lot of things lined up. The most grand life we could ever imagine. It's not out of His realm of possibilities. Not out of His realm. But it can be a possibility for you if you simply believe. God's plans aren't a resolution. They're not an idea. They're the real thing. They're the real deal. And they are already realities. For us, see, the sky is the limit, but we choose to only reach what we can by ourselves. When you reach with Jesus, and especially you business people, He can take it to another level when you trust Him and you take His leading and His guidance and you ask Him for the wisdom on what you need to do with each move you make in your business. It will grow unexpectedly for you. And you're going to say, wow, how'd that happen? And then you're going to stop and realize, wait a minute, it wasn't about me. It was all about Him because I gave Him my business. I trusted Him with the leading of my business. He's my senior partner. I'm following His lead. And you will grow that business far beyond whatever you can possibly even believe for. Way beyond. Don't look to your own understanding. Always look to Jesus and all of the possibilities. Trusting what He can bring into your life. Because your business is your life. Your job is your life. They're part of those things. So you got to trust Him in your jobs, in your businesses. Trust Him. Our faith should always be in Him, for Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And when you know and trust the author, you can be sure that He wants to be involved in every detail of the story that especially is written about you. With each chapter, each day, each page, every word spoken, being greater than the one before. See, don't let this year pass you by. Start turning your resolutions into realities today. In 2008, you can say, I will accomplish many things. For greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me through this coming year. For with God, all things are possible. I just simply have to believe. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Amen. Stand on those type of resolutions. Amen. Thank you.